Jonathan Demme seems to be living more lives than most filmmakers. He's directed blockbusters like Silence of the Lambs, Philadelphia, Beloved, and The Manchurian Candidate, concert films like Stop Making Sense and Neil Young, Heart of Gold, and also intimate documentaries like The Agronomist and Haiti, Killing the Dream. His latest project is Right to Return, new home movies from the Lower Ninth Ward, a series of five short films that will be broadcast each night for a week beginning Monday, May 28th on the Tavis Smiley Late Night PBS program. I'm very pleased it has brought Jonathan Demme back to my show to talk about them. It's always great to see you.
Thank you.
Now, you began in January 2006 and then ended in 2007 and then showed up on regular intervals to find out what's happened to the neighborhoods. Was it your plan to keep on returning with the change of every season?
Yes. It was really an effort by myself and two friends, Daniel Wolf and Abdul Franklin. And we went down. The idea was, it started out as kind of an academic exercise. We thought if we go into the hardest hit neighborhoods once a season over the course of a year, if we can find some of the people who we've heard have moved back, if they're willing to talk to us, at the end of the year, we'll be able to have some kind of portrait about what life was like in those devastated neighborhoods.
And I'm sure you saw this as something where there would be a kind of a revival, there'll be a renaissance. But the situation has been a lot more complicated, a lot more difficult for these people than any of us might have imagined.
You know, I'll tell you more. I think actually it felt a lot bleaker when we first went down. I had a long phone call with Cyril Neville, my old friend, on the telephone New Year's Day.
Of the Neville brothers?
Yeah, 2006, New Year's Day. And Cyril was convinced that on every level, culturally, just on every conceivable level, life as had previously been lived in those neighborhoods was really, there's tremendous energy coming from the various governmental levels to just bulldoze everything away. And with it, of course, they would be bulldozing away the grounds of the Mardi Gras Indian tribes, the second line, the certain kind of music that emerges when life is lived in certain kind of neighborhoods. So we went down maybe to kind of chart the demise, as it were. And I was so happy when it, in human terms, seems to be going in a different way.
Well, what you've instead found is that there's a resistance, and that's why this is called Right to Return, because there are some people, many are never coming back, but some people feel that it's their right to return, to rebuild, even though government seems to have a very different idea about the whole thing. And there are a lot of people who they blame. They blame FEMA and the U.S. government. They blame Mayor Ray Nagin. They blame Governor Kathleen Blanco. And the suggestion is that that everybody wants a different New Orleans, a New Orleans that would be for tourists and mostly for the more affluent people who lived in the better neighborhoods.
Well, certainly on the five trips that we made over the course of 2006, delivering us to 2007, Daniel and Abdul and I always stayed in a nice little hotel on the fringe of the French Quarter. And on every visit, we saw this tremendous renaissance in the French Quarter. And as we drove through downtown, we could see tremendous leaps. And really the mercantile, the tourist part of the city coming back strong with a lot of energy, a lot of focus. As soon as you leave downtown, as soon as you start heading into the devastated neighborhoods, it just turns upside down.
But, you know, that was the way New Orleans was even when before the flood in an odd way. I remember going to a restaurant that wasn't in the center of town, and the cab driver got lost, and we suddenly wound up in a neighborhood where he said, oops. And you just saw how desperate some of the lives of people who are living in those neighborhoods were. It might have very well have been the Lower Ninth Ward. I wasn't aware of where we were, but just one bullet home after another with people sitting on the porches looking like they had nothing to do, no money, desperate. It was a very sad thing to see.
Which, of course, is something that we can find in almost any American city of any size, from the metropolises to the smaller cities. And the thing is, we have to remember that there are neighborhoods within neighborhoods. And I'm sure, as you described, yes. And even Cyril said, you know, he's very strong on saying New Orleans, for the vast majority of working people, was a disaster before the storm. However, there are other neighborhoods within the neighborhoods where, you know, the amazing people that I got to meet, that we got to meet, also lived, keeping tremendous traditions alive. And these are, you know, school teachers, librarians, chefs, all kinds of musicians, just people from every kind of skill level.
I don't know how you turn them up, but you left out the widow of Ernie K. Doe, who's also the owner of the Mother-in-Law Lounge, reformed drug addicts, and people who just pass by as you're filming.
Yeah, it's funny because we didn't know what we were doing. The first trip back in January of 06, we've gotten our rental car at the airport and just drove out, and we saw a couple of guys that were cleaning up a mess, and they were the first people we saw, and we sort of pulled over and started talking to them. They started telling us extraordinary stories. So I said, can we film this? And we stumbled our way into it. And we also had some phone numbers that Cyril had given us and some other friends of ours had given us. So we were able to locate, for example, Pastor Mel Jones, who is one of the greatest people I've ever met, and who, along with so many of the other people that we got to meet, have become, you know, sort of my nearest and dearest friends. Everyone was ready to share their story.
Did you do all of your own camera work?
I did a lot of it, hence the sort of marginal quality of most of it.
Oh, well, no, I thought it might, you know, I always wondered about why directors didn't do that more. I realize there are union issues and all of that, but you know where you want the camera to be at any time, and you probably can cut down on a lot of editing simply by shooting the things that are important to you.
Well, certainly there was an enormous saving on the budgetary level. This was a self-financed home movie project, and Abdul eventually started shooting some, and our friend Anthony Calypso came down and shot once. But yeah, it's hence the apologetic title, New Home Movies from the Lower Ninth Ward. It's like...
Jonathan Demme is here, and his latest project is Right to Return, New Home Movies from the Lower Ninth Ward, which will be broadcast each night, five different shows, beginning next Monday on the Tavis Smiley Show on PBS. And then later, I gather, it will be put together into a full-length feature film?
There is a feature work in progress that much of the Tavis Smiley material is part of. And there's also, Leonard, the ultimate goal with this, what has always been the ultimate goal, was to wind up with a maybe 15-hour piece, seasonal chapters, that if anybody wants to know how life was lived amongst those courageous souls who did return to the hardest-hit neighborhoods over the course of 2006, 4 months after the hurricane, here's an amazing human tapestry for you. So that's the ultimate goal. We want a big old archival piece. And in the meantime, I feel like I was on the telephone to a director friend of mine who's making a movie in New Orleans right now 2 days ago, because as I reviewed the stuff for Tavis Smiley, I realized that half of these wonderful people have so much charisma and going that I'm convinced they're kind of stars in the making. So I was calling my friend saying, if you've got any good parts left, you've got to meet Carolyn Parker right away.
At least one of the people you spoke to felt the press has been remiss in covering the story. Do you agree?
Well, one thing,
because did they just go to the Latin Quarter and see all the good stuff?
One thing we have always heard when we go down there is that from time to time, usually on an anniversary moment, that there'll be a sort of an arrival of press, a flurry of activity, and then gone again. And there is this sense that there's always an enormous story going on in the lives of the people down there that just really doesn't seem to get out as best I can tell. For example, the whole failure of the Road Home project, where Governor Blanco went to Washington and was able to secure, supposedly, $150,000 each for all of the people who wanted their homes rebuilt. And you know, there's still less than 50 people have received any of those grants.
And the people you spoke to, many of them said, well, you know, when you finally come down to it, they're offering me, one person said, I think, $150. Another one said $10,000, but a lot less than they thought. And this is money that really, and then they have to go through all sorts of bureaucratic red tape to get even that money. Their feeling was that the recovery funds were going all to the more affluent neighborhoods.
Definitely being targeted into the more affluent neighborhoods, and also being sucked up by the bureaucracy itself. I mean, FEMA, the management of FEMA, has an enormous price tag connected to it already. But I guess Governor Blanco, what we were told was that when she secured this massive money to distribute among people so they could get back into their homes, that then she had the idea to $150,000, but let's deduct if they got a FEMA trailer, $80,000. Let's deduct insurance if they got any insurance. And suddenly people were getting literally checks for $200 if they were amongst the lucky handful that got them.
So with the limited funds available, the people who remain have to do all the work themselves or rely on volunteers from elsewhere who have come to New Orleans to help, and you show some of them. One of the other aspect of this film, something that people will not be surprised in your case because music has been so important to you, is that you have a original musical scores from some wonderful New Orleans musicians, including Donald Harrison Jr.,
yes,
James McBride, Barry Eastman, Steve Elson. I guess everybody wanted to do something. In the case of Donald Harrison Jr., his mother is one of the key figures in one of the films.
Yeah, that's one of the things that's very, very sweet on the Tuesday night film, which is the Harrison family. I didn't realize when we met her East Harrison that her son was Donald Harrison Jr. I didn't also realize.
A great jazz alto player.
Oh, yeah. And also that her grandson is Christian Scott, the Grammy-nominated trumpet player. And that even the Mardi Gras Indian songs that we hear on the soundtrack of that little film are sung by her daughter, Kara. So it's kind of a very, very – that's such a rich, culturally rich family. And again, that, by the way, I have to tell you that the Harrison family, Carolyn Parker's family – Pastor Mel, we wound up with so much fantastic footage on those folks, in addition to others, that we're going to do breakout portrait features on those people and perhaps some others.
And some of them will be on the Tavis Smiley Show talking about their situation. It's being predicted that there'll be more hurricanes in the coming season than usual. Do you think New Orleans can survive another storm on the scale of Katrina or Rita?
Well, I'm certainly no expert on that, but what
we've
been
told... They were
talking
about the dikes not being, the levees not being built high enough.
That's the disturbing thing. From what we've been told, and no one's come forth to contradict this, the levees have simply been restored to the state of resiliency that they were when they broke. And we've also heard, you hear it again and again, that until that real estate has the opportunity to be put to greater use in the eyes of the federal government and the real estate people, only then will a truly substantial levee system like the one that's proved so successful in Holland be put into place to really protect what's there.
Jonathan Demme, we didn't talk about any of his feature films. I have no idea whether he has another film in the works, but the film Right to Return, New Home Movies from the Lower Ninth Ward, will start being broadcast next Monday on the Tavis Smiley Show and run for a full week, and then later we can expect to see a full-length film. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to talk about this. Thank you.